Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, powered by SB Nation. Your host, Dave Sturcio, alongside America's fan, Keith Ernst, and, of course, nationally known comedian on tour, once again, Brett Ernst. Brett, your background, I mean, where the hell are you, bro? That's pretty badass.
I was in Connecticut. I'm in Fairfield.
Fairfield, Connecticut. How was the show? Good? Good crowds?
Yeah, it was great. It was really good. We had I did a charity on Friday night for the vets with the local radio station here, 99.1. And then last night I did a show at the Sacred Heart Community Theater.
Nice. Nice. Very nice. You say 99.1. 99.1 in New Jersey is Star 99. It's like Christian rock. It's like a spiritual station.
What's funny is he says vets as one of the greatest Vietnam veterans behind Brett right now.
See that right now?
That's Rambo.
Rambo, an art picture of Rambo.
That's great, dude. That is so cool. And then he had Stallone as Rocky the other way. All right, so look. We're excited, obviously. Dallas Cowboys report back to camp. Everybody's excited about it. We're seeing it. We're seeing videos being all over the place, and Blogging the Boys has had phenomenal coverage of it. Wrote a couple articles based off the first couple practices. We're here to at least give you the, you know, what our winners and losers are of week one of training camp. But first, guys, I'll start off by saying, is it a no-brainer to bring in a Malik Hooker to you know, sign with this team? Because I have to touch on that, because by the time this airs, it airs on Monday, maybe he passes the physical and he's already signed, so I want to preface that. But I think this is kind of like, if it's your second trip in to Dallas, you got to assume this is to sign him, right?
Yeah. Go ahead, bro. You go first.
I mean, yeah, if it doesn't cost us anything.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to assume that he's going to get, I don't know, somewhere. Look, they couldn't get it done the first time. Maybe there was a negotiation. But now that we're in the heat of camp already, it looks like the Dallas Cowboys have a need and they're addressing a need. And this is, you got to assume it comes on the cheap. You know what I mean? I think that this kid obviously didn't sign anywhere else. He's coming off an Achilles injury. So I guess that's the biggest bugaboo of this kid. But because they're bringing him in for a physical this time, it looks like it's a foregone conclusion that they're bringing him in. Now, what I will say, Keith, first of all, give me your thoughts on Malik Hooker.
Well, I just think that, and I think the injury thing does play a factor. My thing with the Colts is, you know, just from being not only an avid Cowboy watcher, but an NFL watcher, their defenses have been pretty damn good, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was the starting safety. But if you look at his stats and stuff, they're not that great, which you can't really, you know, sometimes you're shutting down a player, so you're not getting interceptions. You know what I'm saying? And I've never fully watched the Colts play except that game where they shut us out a couple years ago when we lost like 20-0.
Right.
Which was horrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. But I meant, you know, whatever pops up on Red Zone or if they're on Sunday night or whatever, I'll watch them. But as far as watching him, I've never really watched him play.
He's a gamer.
He's a former first round pick.
Right.
So I mean, why not? But I think the reason we're going to get him on the cheap is because of the injury, and maybe, you know, Colts aren't, they're not salivating to get him back. You know what I mean? It's not like people are
right
are chasing him. You know,
right.
So maybe he needs to prove himself again.
Totally. But you know, the only thing I can take away from this move is the fact that, you know, we always get used to, you know, Steven and Jerry Jones always come back and say, we like the guys we have. We like the guys we have, right? They're always saying that. It's like tattooed on Cowboys Nation's arms. But now this goes to show you that maybe, just maybe, they're all in on improving the team as much as they can. Maybe in that first day of camp, they're like, oh my God, like we need some safety help. We need some safety depth. You know what I mean? So maybe that's a thing. Maybe they're just kind of waiting around.
There's a lot of upside to it. I mean, you know, he's still got some ball left in him. You know, there's obviously some experience he could bring. Again, though, if we're going to do what we usually do with these big, I mean, you know, we probably, if we can get him on the cheap, I think it's a great addition.
Yeah. And like I said to you before, I think it will be.
It's all upside.
Yeah, you know? All upside, and seems like a no-brainer. And then Blogging the Boys actually wrote an article where that was the headline, or it was like, seems like a no-brainer to bring in a Malik Hooker to add to the secondary. Now, we obviously have watched training camp for the first week. You know, you can't take too much away from it. You know, there's no pads on yet. You know, they're not going too crazy. You guys have more experience on the college level, at least, and then a little bit, you know, longer than that. But I ask you guys, I beg the question, can you guys take away a lot of things when the pads aren't on and it's just 7-on-7s?
Yeah, I mean, you can. You're learning schemes, you know, proper placement where you should be in certain coverages. Like I said, you can see a lot out of your corners and receivers and skill positions. I mean, I was seeing what's his name? Micah Parsons was going up against Tyron Smith on a play. You're not really going to get a lot out of that.
Right. Know? Right, they're not clanging and banging or anything like that.
You're going to see how fast they get off the edge, but you know you can get some stuff out of your corners and your receivers. Did Keith freeze?
No, I think Keith's here. He's just head down, probably writing things down. Yeah. Keith, how do you feel about the taking too much away from borderline? You know, just walkthroughs. I mean, I know they're not walkthroughs; they're going through the motions. We're seeing a lot of promise out of a lot of guys, and we'll get into the winners and losers. But when you look at 7-on-7s and no pads, do you think we can get a lot out of that?
I think it's better for the receivers and DBs more than anything.
Yeah, that's what Keith.
You know, because the quarterback's not getting hit. I mean, even the linebackers. You know, I mean, linebackers dropping off in coverage is great too. You know, but. I think it's better for the receivers and you know, just because, you know, that's all quick.
Yeah.
Running those patterns and everything, you know, you can see who can cover who. And it will probably be easier on the defensive backs when the pads are on.
Truth. It might slow down a couple of these guys. Yeah.
Not only slow down, but I mean, you know, the quarterback will be under more pressure.
Yeah.
If they can cover, you know, these receivers, now in 7-on-7 without pads, then they can definitely, you know, make, you know, they'll definitely be able to cover them with.
They have the coverage belt. Like, you know, I mean, where they have to get a ball off within 3 seconds.
Well, you say that as funny as you just said that, there was one clip with Dak Prescott might have given like 7 seconds to throw. He launched one up to Gallup, and I'm like, bro, never is he going to have that much time to throw the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But all right, so let's break down these winners and losers of the first week of training camp as we kick off this second week, headed a lot closer to obviously the Hall of Fame game coming up in just a couple weeks, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. We'll start with the losers. We'll go negative first, and then we'll work our way into the positives. The first loser, it's hard to say loser. I don't want to say like you're a loser, but I'm saying the first.
Let's just say pros and cons.
Yeah, man. Pros and cons. There we go. One of the biggest cons that I see out of Dallas Cowboys' first week at training camp is the fact that Tristan Hill is starting on the PUP list. And I know there's a couple guys starting on the PUP list, but you feel like the Cowboys added depth at defensive tackle for this reason. Isn't this going to kind of hurt his stock? I mean, he's not a bubble player by any stretch, but if these guys are, you know, the other guys start lighting it up, Tristan Hill could be in trouble. Yeah. No.
Yeah, no, I could see that. But here's my thing. Are you, when somebody goes on PUP, you're allowed to bring other players in, right? To report, like to practice.
I'm not sure. I honestly don't know the rule. What I'm
trying to say is why they're on PUP. I think that you may be able to bring some, you know, other players in to replace those players. So you kind of get an extra tryout.
So it's like a preseason. It's a preseason injury reserve.
Kind of. Yeah. That's what I think. So that's kind of cool if that is the case. I don't know if that's true or not, but if that is the case, but yeah, I think it hurts him. But I think, you know, he's one of those players too, where they had him a couple seasons and they know what he's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Okay.
You know, now, if someone really blows it up and he comes back, I don't see, put it this way, I wouldn't see him if they were going to release him or something, I wouldn't see it until like if it was the regular, like a few games into the regular season or something.
Now, that's for Tristan Hill, but there's another guy who hurt his hamstring, and that'd be Francis Bernard. So that's troubling. You know what I mean? That it's troubling that Francis Bernard has now hurt himself, and now he's on the sidelines. And, like, that's the kind of guy where we all like him. We want to see more of him, but now we can't because he's hurt. You know, so that could really
start last year.
Right. He couldn't. Well, he started last year because it couldn't get it any worse on the linebackers.
No star. He was the star last year, wasn't he?
Oh, he was the star. He was like the pet cat of everybody. You know, everybody loved Francis Bernard. We wanted to see more of Francis Bernard.
Yeah, but my point is that I meant the poor kid. I mean, he blew it up in training camp last year and got released and put on the practice squad and moved up later. So I meant. That's what he must be thinking right now. You know, that's what he's thinking is, man, I did awesome last training camp. I couldn't make the team. Now I can't even get out there because of my hamstring. What's going to happen to me?
Right. And that's an unfortunate. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think, man. I'm pretty sure the NFL left the expanded rosters as far as the size of the practice squad. So in that theory, he still probably has a shot to make that. But, you know, you got to be careful, man.
What's the hamstring injury? Did they say what it was? What degree or anything?
No, I didn't look. I just saw, I read the article on Blogging the Boys saying that he left with a hamstring injury. So maybe it's
minor and, you know, he could be back next week. Worst case scenario, you know, 2 weeks, be there for some preseason games. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. Brett, your thoughts about guys on the bubble and guys that are injured to start preseason, because we were just talking about Tristan Hill and we were talking about Francis Bernard both being hurt. But for Tristan Hill, different story because he's starting on the PUP list. But do you think that hinders his opportunities going forward because of the fact that we drafted so many and added so much to the D-line?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, look, it depends on the severity of the injury again. Also, you know, you're looking at potential. Like if you get a guy that even at 80% is still better than some of the guys that are, you know, doing their best. It all depends on the situation. For him personally, possibly, you know, I mean, they're looking to, you know, they drafted. They're trying to bring some people in. So it could affect him. Like, but, you know, it hasn't hurt, what's his name, Randy Gregory.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, he's missed plenty of time throughout the regular seasons and stuff. And
What's that?
Right?
What'd you say?
I said he's made the team every year, and he's always.
He's not even there.
Imagine that. But yeah, no. Shout out to Randy Gregory. We'll get into him in a second.
I'm him getting in the Ring of Honor. Never there.
Brett, you brought up something in pre. Is there any extracurriculars going on around the Dallas training camp that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, look, you want the kids to have fun, but at the same time, you're already practicing dances. So,
I'll never forget. Listen, you're right. Keith's got a point. It could be a Hard Knocks HBO.
No, I was going to say somebody wrote a comment because Jalen Smith was practicing his dance. Remember I tagged you guys in it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See what the guy wrote? He said, now he can celebrate when he makes a tackle 10 yards down the field.
Yeah. Listen, man, he's under a lot of scrutiny, and, you know, there's nobody more critical of Jalen than me on this podcast. But
that's my that would be my con.
But you
is Jalen Smith so far, by the way.
Is what?
Jalen Smith so far.
Why? What have you seen?
It's not what exactly.
Okay.
I haven't seen anything. All I've seen is in dancing. And I saw LVE make plays. I've seen like in training camp. I haven't seen anything from him. All I heard is compare himself to Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
Who did?
Jalen Smith saying, like,
I did see something on the way in here. I think John Owning.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, you know, everyone just gets scrutinized, even Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
Oh, I mean, Jesus,
he can compare himself to them, but you know, but it's just like, dude, just play ball, man. Just show us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got faith in him. I know he's got it.
Yeah, I know you do, George Michael. That's every time you say that, I call you George Michael.
Listen, again, there's nobody. Go ahead. Sorry.
He overcame that injury. You know, he worked his ass off to get there. And, you know, we know we had. Let's just see what happens this season. That's all, man.
Yeah, no, we could definitely take the wait and see approach for one more year, I guess. You know, like, because
you can.
Huh?
For him, you can.
All right. Yeah, for him, you can. I mean, look.
See, here's the thing. Really quick, Sturge.
Go ahead, yeah.
My pro, all the pros and cons I've come up with have pretty much been players I've been hard on.
Okay.
So my one con in my head was the Jalen Smith, and that was the one. But all the rest of the pros I have been players I've been hard on.
Yeah, I was on the Blogging the Boys YouTube channel last week right before training camp started, and I said to them, I said, look, nobody's questioning Jalen Smith the person. You know what I mean? Nobody's questioning what he does off the field. It's great. All his foundations, a great dude, right? It's just you got to get on the field and you got to prove it to us, man. Like we're very tired of it. We've addressed it significantly as far as like drafting Parsons, drafting Cox, moving guys around, signing Neal, moving him down to linebacker. So there's like a lot of things that's working against Jalen Smith, and hopefully, just hopefully, there's a fire lit under his ass, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Hey, man, look, they should be embarrassed, you know? That's like I said. I wouldn't even be like, I'd be like, you're right. Like, if I bombed 8 nights in a row, and then now they're like, listen, we heard Brett's off his game. I got to be like, you know what? I am. I got to figure out how to get out of this slump. I'm not going to make for myself, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
totally. Exactly. Dude, but back to the dancing too, like I remember the in the Campos Hard Knocks.
The slip and slide, the thing?
That one, but not no, the what's it called? The when Emmitt Smith like was driving the bus. Do you remember that?
No, I that was the 2001. That was the first time they were on Hard Knocks.
That's the Campos one.
Yeah, Dave Campos.
Yeah, the Campos one. Yeah, but I meant stuff like that. Like he was doing it for the cameras because he thought it was that's what I'm trying to say. There's something when cameras are around people where they act differently.
They're all kids at this point, bro. I mean, look, this is definitely like the age of TikTok. You know what I'm saying? Don't want it. I know you don't want it. Nobody wants that. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of cool things to take away from Hard Knocks, but I'm not going to get into Hard Knocks again because we'll to see.
Gotcha,
we'll watch the first episode and we'll be like, oh, I hated it. You know, like, so we'll see about that. Right. Well, any more negatives or cons out of the first week, or we're ready to talk good about the Dallas Cowboys?
That's kind of it for me. Yeah, I mean, I would have came after Kelvin Joseph, but I saw him make a play or two, man.
So, yeah, there's a couple plays that are being made. So we'll get into the winners as Brett leaves us again over at 18 minute mark. Just got to keep writing these things down. But now when you take a look at the pluses and the pros and the good things to take out of camp, again, hard to really determine who's what outside the skill positions. It's a good thing to see a guy like Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins look as good as they do physically. You know, these guys are slimmer, trimmer, leaner. Even Zeke coming in at 218 or something like that. He's leaner.
Absolutely.
Hasn't been this lean since the freshman year of college. So obviously this kid, you know, I'm a Zeke apologist, you know, and I keep saying like last year was a fluke and last year, you know, the turnovers and stuff like that. He said it in his first interview. He said, look, you know, the one thing I got to do is not turn the ball over because I'm letting my whole team down, you know, and he was. So it's not like that's a forgotten thing. We'll definitely keep that in mind when he starts running the rock and see if he can protect it. But Zeke, Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins all come out looking absolutely shredded. And it's good because we're looking and waiting for Tyron Smith and Collins to stay healthy one whole year. Because if that's the case, and you got Zach Martin and Tyler at center, and you got Connor Williams, it's a decent offensive line. You know, when they're healthy, it's decent.
It's better than decent. And you know, look, our that was a big factor last year. But the good news is we have some young offensive linemen that were thrown in and you know have some game time experience. Just like with our corners, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Another winner I want to say, especially because now that you brought up corner, I'll segue into Nashon Wright. I don't know if you guys have seen him ball yet, but he is absolutely doing great.
And
go ahead, what's
I'm
up?
I'm such a jerk.
Why?
I'm gonna bring up you bashing that pick again.
I literally wrote it here. He was questioned since he was drafted. I put it. I did. Look.
Well, because you listen to the pundits. That's why you listen to the ESPN pundits, and because nobody knew who this kid was, and they're saying, "Oh, this is a terrible pick," and now they're saying like he could be the best defensive back taken in the draft. Right.
Look, you really can't trust.
See though, you know who's owning him though? Not owning him, but had quite a few. And that's one of my bro. This is one of the guys I bashed, and it's one of your favorites.
Who's that?
Noah the Playmaker Brown. Dude, Noah Brown. Listen, no, bro. Noah Brown's killing it right now. Did you see that, Storch?
Yeah, of course. I watch all the highlights.
He's the only one that's been beating Nashon Wright.
Because he's a physical receiver.
Yeah, he had a great, catch, bro.
Much like the playmaker, Michael Irvin.
Yeah, exactly.
So, listen, Wright is having.
I love if Noah Brown comes out this year and just kills it.
He's got to make the team. And again, right now they go into camp with like 48 receivers, and that's totally fine. And of course, you got your big three, and then you got, listen, they just drafted, you know, the Fajoco, you know what I mean? Like they just drafted that kid. So there's going to be a lot of competition in the wide receiver room. Noah Brown has been a staple there. He's been there for a long time. Then you have to also talk about Cedric Wilson, you know, other than his, punt returning antics or whatever he did, the fake punt or whatever, he was involved in that garbage. Yeah. But you know, there's a lot of receivers and there's only one ball to go around. So hopefully, and Noah Brown being the physical guy that he is can lay the wood and block a couple of guys.
You know what makes me laugh too is like they keep showing footage of Quinn working with the defense,
That's a massive plus.
But that's what he's supposed to do.
You'd be surprised, dude. There's I'm saying there's a lot of hands-off coaches, guys that are on the sidelines whistleblowing.
Do that.
What?
said Wade Phillips. No,
right, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, it just looks like, you know, we're grasping onto anything when they're like, there he is.
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
I totally get it. But I did write that as one of my pluses, that Dan Quinn, based off the videos and coverage of Blogging the Boys, that he's very hands-on. I saw him working with Randy Gregory.
Hey, what do you think? Okay, what if he wasn't? Like, why is that something we're celebrating?
Maybe because we haven't seen it in a while. Maybe we have.
We'll see. Listen, I'm glad he's hands-on. I'm glad he's coaching. Good for him. That's a plus.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks, right?
If he's as hands-on as, like, if he gets, like, pancaked by Tyrone Smith one time, then I'll be like, okay, this guy. Let's hands-on. I mean, you know.
I'll tell you one of the cons. I saw McCarthy actually hold the clipboard. I mean, that's eight. I mean, you know.
It means he doesn't know his own offense.
For a coach to have a clipboard. I mean, what are we doing?
Listen, bro. Listen, it's the first week of camp. We're all excited that the Cowboys are back and they're doing their thing. Look, maybe we haven't seen a handsy defensive.
No. Listen to me. See, that statement right there. They're doing their thing. We don't want them to do their thing. We want them to change their thing.
Well, they have.
I'm optimistic. I like Quinn. It looks like they're getting excited and having a little fun, which is great for the defense. It's good for defense to play relaxed, to play loose. You know,
I still want that leader to come out. I want that person, the vocal leader. Who is that?
Dak.
I'm talking about on defense, bro. On defense.
I think if Smith
was there when Bennett came in, Michael Bennett came in and took over the locker room in week eight.
Well, maybe Malik Hooker is that guy to come in and just start rallying people up. I don't know.
Do it, man. You need that person. You need that one guy, man.
We'll find out. It'll be great if it's Quinn.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. That's a very good point.
We'll find out on Hard Knocks.
Nice HBO plug, by the way. We'll find out on Hard Knocks. No, but, like, honestly, it's good to see everybody. You know what? The biggest winner of all, this is going to sound so, like, little Sturge optimism, stupid thing, but it's going to sound, the biggest winner here are the fans. Okay. Because they get to go to Oxnard and watch this team practice, as opposed to last year, they didn't get to do anything. So the fans are winning here. Also, I will say, Keanu Neal. Okay, we brought him in to play. Everybody thought he was going to be a safety, and then now he's in the linebacker room. There was one play where I saw Keanu Neal forced the fumble on Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup did like a 4-yard slant in, and Keanu Neal just popped the ball right out. Now, is Gallup trying? I don't know. I would hope so. You know, like, is he like loosey goosey, like going through walkthroughs, and Keanu Neal just kind of punches out a loose grip? I don't know, but I think that's the mentality that we've been missing. Keanu Neal coming in, even if the offense is kind of dragging their ass, you know, and like dragging their feet through practice, he's coming to play, you know, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and that's good. And I actually don't think that Gallup. I think that when you're doing drills like that, you know, in your head, you're thinking you can't even help it. You know what I mean? That you're thinking this is, you know, I'm in a game.
Right.
You're running those kind of patterns. And for him, yeah, I think that was a good play.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you could force a fumble, especially in practice, we said it before. Do you guys think that 7-on-7s work? And when the skill positions, yeah, I mean, you're gonna find out who's balling and who's not. So obviously, as Brett departs us because he's got to do another show, as we progress in training camp, and there's a guy like Dak Prescott. Now, is this the one that you're kind of just like circling, saying like, all right, there's no pressure on him as far as like physical pressure, but it's nice, bro. It's very nice to see him back there rather than Andy Dalton or who I think Gilbert Gottfried is going to be the backup quarterback. It seems like it's a race between him and Cooper Rush. And when I say Gilbert Gottfried, everybody knows I'm talking about, you know, Gilbert. But is it good? Obviously, how do you feel about seeing Dak Prescott out there slinging it?
Dude, I think I love it. I mean, it's awesome. But that is one of my positives is Gilbert Gottfried. Garrett Gilbert is okay. Is the fact that I even said he's played one game.
Right.
Literally one game against Pittsburgh. And it was a decent game. You know, we almost won that game when Pittsburgh was undefeated last season.
Right.
And it seems that he is making some really, really nice plays in camp. You know what I mean? So, I mean, he's a positive for me, mm-hmm. is I was very, you know, if you listen to previous podcasts, I was very finicky about our backup quarterback situation. I've been begging them to bring somebody in, you know, because just in case Dak needs rest or something happens for a couple games, we need to win games. And maybe, you know, maybe this is Gilbert's calling, man. I mean, you know, it takes some, you look at certain quarterbacks, right? That it takes them a while to learn. They can't just jump right in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, totally.
A great example is Kurt Warner.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I'm saying?
Guy was bagging groceries before. He was bagging groceries before he was winning Super Bowls.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, people, even like someone like Rich Gannon, you know, you look at some of these quarterbacks where it takes, so maybe he's finally getting it and he got his shot. I mean, I looked it up and he was drafted in 2014, right?
Yeah, so he's been around for 7 years already.
And he was the last quarterback taken in that draft, which was interesting. I saw.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, and he dressed for games, but he never started until the Dallas Cowboy game, and he left and played in another league as well. So, but him making these kind of plays and having the confidence he has, you know, I mean, hey, you know, that's, you know, and that's the thing. Nobody saw him in a game.
Right. The only film they have on him is the Pittsburgh game.
Is the Pittsburgh game. But my thing is like maybe there's, you know, there are certain players that have that game mentality when mm-hmm. they get in, you know, they show out.
Right.
You know, like they say Peyton Manning threw one of the ugliest balls you've ever seen, you know, but you couldn't tell when he's in a game, man. You
right. know what I'm saying? Not at all. I mean, he's one of the best to ever do it.
Exactly. So I don't know. But anyway, so he's one of my positives. Garrett Gilbert for sure.
Yeah. The backup quarterback position was one of those ones where I was like very, very, very nervous about not addressing, but it seems mm-hmm. like they have enough decent players behind Dak Prescott to kind of ease that anxiety of if God forbid something happens to Dak again, you know, we can maybe win a couple games without him. Obviously, we don't want that, but, you know, again, you want a decent quarterback. And when you say, like, bring somebody in, you also have to take in consideration, maybe there is nobody out there left. You know what I'm saying?
No,
maybe
I don't think there is anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
Driscoll was the last one I could think of.
Right.
And the only reason I liked him is because he could run.
Right. He can move it around. Yeah.
You know
right.
what I mean? So they were, you know, he could kind of run, you know, a Dak offense. That's the only one I was thinking of. But then he went to the Texans or something. I don't even know where he went. But, you know, that person. But one person that I'm not laughing at, and I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for every player, by the way. But Danucci,
our boy, our cousin Ben Danucci.
I know. Apparently, he had a great 2 minutes. But I'm reading, like, and this is the thing, like, when you're talking about no contact, it's like, oh, he had a great run for 30. It's like, come on.
Yeah, he would have got popped if there was.
Pass the ball. Right. It's not fair to run against, especially if you're a quarterback. They don't hit quarterbacks in camp.
They're actually,
especially when you don't have pads on.
And they're right. And the Cowboys finally switched it over with the Mike McCarthy era. They put red jerseys on them. Red means stop. Do not hit me. So now you definitely know he's a quarterback to not lay the wood.
But I bet Cooper Rush getting injured is going to hurt him. The three quarterbacks might be going in is probably it will be. I think right now it looks as if Gilbert's backing up and Danucci will get either third or practice squad.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. It remains to be seen how many quarterbacks they take in. But I do know for a fact that, and it's funny that we should mention the Pittsburgh game. Garrett Gilbert's going to get a nice little chunk of action in that first game against Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
so that's interesting. And it's going to be interesting to kind of weed out to see who's who. Look, it's very early in camp. We're 1 week deep, but we're the only team in camp right now, along with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And by the way, I'm Adam Schefter saying that the Ben Roethlisberger came in lean and mean when he just had a big old donut tire around him. He don't look any different than he's ever has.
I have a good friend of mine, and she sent me that with the Steelers. She goes, look, you got, you know, the NFL's in trouble or something. Look at Ben. Like, he looks the same, except his beard's gone. Right.
Nothing's changed.
Maybe that makes him look thinner.
I guess, maybe. It does wonders for me, that's for sure. So, I will say, all right, so the Cowboys, obviously, again, 1 week in to training camp. We've mentioned a bunch of winners or pros and cons from it, you know, dating back. We'll go recap the cons. Tristan Hill, Francis Bernard, any kind of injured Cowboys right now. Your mm-hmm. spot's up for grabs if you're a bubble guy. You got to be careful. The dancing, we don't like that. But again, we can attribute that to possibly Hard Knocks of guys kind of showing off for the camera and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. you know what's funny? I just started yesterday on the treadmill at the gym. I started, there's some kind of YouTube channel. I don't remember the name of it, but they have it in crystal clear, like perfect HD, the 2008 Hard Knock season. So I started rewatching it just for, you know, shits and giggles. But I'm done with episode one. I can't believe how stacked that team was and we didn't perform. Like, I forgot. I forgot Tank Johnson was on that team.
I know. Remember, I brought up the point where he says, "I've never seen so much talent before on a team." He says that in one of the episodes. I remember.
Yeah, man, it's unbelievable. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. But yeah, I know. And you know, and once again, that's the season. We started out 3-0.
Yeah, finished 9-7. Missed the playoff. I want to debunk the playoff scenario because of the Rams that did it last year. They were on Hard Knocks. They made the playoffs. Yes. So let's stop with the whole like curse, the Hard Knocks curse.
It's still the Rams. I don't know.
Whatever. I heard your other podcast. I get it. I know. Other guys talking. And by the way, I'm glad he fixed his mic. But
Yeah.
So look, the Cowboys are headed full steam into week two of training camp. The Jersey boys obviously have followed along with Blogging the Boys coverage. They're doing a phenomenal job out there. Some of their beat writers are actually out there reporting some videos, so be sure to follow those guys. But as far as training camp goes, man, as long as we stay healthy, we'll figure out if they, you know, what they do with Malik Hooker if they bring him in. But yeah, dude, I mean, look, there's not a lot going on. We don't have to drag this on too long today.
Well, hold on. Well, we got to want to talk about one more player.
Oh, go ahead. What's up,
dude? Who I was hard on, and we made fun of him earlier. Is Randy Gregory blowing it up?
Dude, I've been trying to tell people this until I'm blue in the face go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to say, Dave Hellman came, and there's another guy tweeting, like, he's like, you need to get number 94 out of there.
Out of there?
Like off the field, because he's ruining, like he's blowing up plays. Like, he's doing awesome.
Right, well, listen.
That's what he said. I mean, right, that's all. He was like, Gregory is killing it right now. Like, it's like he's a beast. But once again, the pads aren't on.
Well, you're still seeing the speed. We've seen it from Micah Parsons, a couple guys coming off the edge. Like, I don't know if Parsons wants to go one-on-one with Tyron Smith pads or not. I don't think that's a smart idea to do that. Tyron will flatten you. But I do think, and I've said this to everybody that will hear me, that Randy Gregory, the fact that we don't have to wait till week six or something, you know, there's no suspensions, there's no problems off the field. The kid is zeroed in, and I think it's a great thing for him to be on the field right away this entire camp. And again, this is going to help the entire defensive line. This is going to help D Law, and there's no more double teams. You got to be responsible to cover 94. And again, with the young secondary, they'll have to cover less time. You know what I mean? If you're getting to the quarterback and you're wreaking havoc back there, those quarterbacks are going to have to fire the football a little faster. So I definitely am excited about Randy Gregory.
Well, he's, just so you know, that's my number one winner
is Randy Gregory.
Randy Gregory.
Yeah. Because
of how hard I was on him, and I know you weren't. Mm-mm. I was, because I admit when I'm wrong. Okay,
you're not Brett. Go ahead. And,
yeah, you're right. I'm just saying though, like, you know, I like to see that. Like, I like when people prove me wrong. Like, I don't care. Like, prove me. That's what I want.
He seems, you know, like what I'm saying. Yeah, he seems like the silent type.
It's only a few days in camp too. I mean, I know. I could still be right, but I don't want to be right.
Right.
I want this to continue because, you know.
Right. And I think Randy Gregory is one of the ones that will shine the entire time. And, you know, again, remains to be seen. Once they put those shells on and people start cracking a little bit, we're going to find out who exactly is who, you know.
Do you know the exact day that it's going to be?
I believe they're doing it literally the next practice, like Tuesday maybe, Tuesday practice maybe. They just put the shells on and start cracking heads. And, again, that's what's needed. You know, we're going to find out who's tough and who can withstand this stuff, because a lot of these guys, you know, it's great to see the corners jumping routes and stuff, but it'll be another thing to see it. You know, when they have pads on as well, it might slow down their game. So it's,
I might have to go down to like I said, it's about an hour and a half from me.
Dude, if you go out there, you know, that'd be great. I mean, and report live from training camp. But yeah, so we'll see. And if you do go out there, let me know. I'll look into some flights just to get out there for a night and escape the world for a little bit. But yeah, so look, first week in the books. Second week will be even better than that. We're going to keep focusing on our pros and our cons of the first week of practice, and we'll go into second, and then we'll see what happens. So the Cowboys are relatively healthy. I know we were kind of, you texted, I think it was you or Brett, about the PUP list, about it being a little deep to start. But a lot of these guys are coming off surgery. You know, Amari Cooper was hurt. You know, he had surgery worked on. Keep your eyes on Tristan Hill. We'll see what happens with that. There was a couple of other guys, I believe DeMarcus Lawrence as well. So
yeah,
it's not, these are maintenance things. These are things that I'm not overly concerned about. I think they're going to be fine. These are the stars of the team. So let's not drive them into the ground right away.
So I guess it is too, that if they're not ready to play by week one, then they can't play till week seven.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Wow. So my assumption is they get taken off the pup list within the first 3 weeks. You know, they probably, there's no reason to put out, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence in preseason game one. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
The guys I want to see, I do want to see Dak for, you know, a series. You might not get him, but I would like to see it. Just one series. That's all. Lead him down the field.
Yeah.
Do your thing. Get off the field and call it a day. So I think that's good for him. I know a lot of people are probably skeptical about that and saying like, I don't know, man. You know, there's less reps, the better, because of his ankle. But he's got to get game speed. He's got to get back to that.
Yeah.
You can't just expect him to not play in four preseason games, and four being the Cowboys having that extra game because of the Hall of Fame game. You can't expect him to just go out in Tampa and just light it up because he's never seen the field since injury. You know, you got to get him on the field. You got to. So.
No, I agree. So. And I think the one game they're going to play in one game. And it'll be the third one, like it always is.
Yeah, dress rehearsal.
Our third, everyone else, you all. Yeah, you know what I mean. Or fourth, that would be our fourth.
Yeah.
Because everyone else's third is their fourth.
Right, because then you also, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, after the fourth for the first time ever, or after the preseason's over, there's actually a week off. So the teams get their bearings after the preseason, and they get to rev it up and start right away. So
you know that. I mean, but that's my favorite. I mean, in the past, it's been the third preseason game, first half, is all the starters played.
Sometimes three quarters. So depends on what Mike McCarthy wants to do. If he wants to be cupcake, you know, we'll see. We'll see if they get some reps. So. All right, well, that'll about wrap it up for this week's episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast. You can check us out every Monday here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, of course, powered by SB Nation. Be sure to tune into all of the podcasts that are covering training camp as it happens. A lot of cool hosts on this network, so be sure to check those guys out and subscribe to the YouTube channel. I believe if RJ did tell me that every Tuesday night they're going to go live on YouTube to recap Hard Knocks. I know that might not make you happy, Keith, but they're going to recap they're going to recap what they saw in Hard Knocks. I might be able to jump on with them as well from time to time. So for Dave Sturcio and, of course, America's fan Keith Ernst and Brett jumping off just a little bit earlier, this has been another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast, and we'll see you guys next week.